Good morning. Good to be with you all this fine December morning. Can you believe it's December already? My goodness. Special thank you to all of you folks who came over to Alicia and I's new house yesterday and helped us with demolition. And who would have known a group of good God-fearing Christians could be so very destructive? It was wonderful. So that was really a blessing for us. So this morning, we're talking about the role of faith and prayer. And I just have to acknowledge up front that in some ways, this is beyond me. I'm still growing in my prayer life. That is my admission up front to you all. But I feel like I'm on the edge of something sometimes. And I'm tying into a greater reality and trust of God that is so good. I want it to be something that this whole congregation experiences. Something that's so good that I think God will use that kind of faith and allow us to be a blessing to the community here. Eugene, Springfield area. So I took this talk because this is the one particular one from Dallas Willard. He gave this at Azusa Pacific sometime in the late 90s. And it took me a long time. I've probably listened to this sermon probably 20 different times. But it's so wonderful. I wanted to do my very best to try to reproduce it and share it with you, so that you can glean something from it. Hopefully you can be doing some thinking about it. Because faith, our faith in God, and the prayers that we lift up, when we tie those things together, they have power. Reality and circumstances change. When I pray for people, sometimes I don't particularly feel anything. Sometimes I don't know. I don't have a good success rate in my prayers if you look percentage-wise. I pray for people and they stay sick or they get sicker. Warning when you ask me for prayers. But sometimes there's something there. So the question we begin with this morning is, what is living prayer? Just define a few terms for us. Living prayer is a kind of prayer that has a life of its own. A kind of prayer that supports us instead of us supporting it. It means a principle of strength that organizes and gives us strategy in our efforts to live for God. Living prayer, as we know all too well, is contrasted by dead prayer. Have you ever had an experience of dead prayer? A kind of prayer that's draining, that puts you to sleep, that bores you out of your mind, that is disconnected from your real cares and concerns. Have you ever experienced this kind of prayer? Dead prayer is what gives prayer such a bad name. Because you can always hear people just groan almost when we say, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. And it doesn't appear to be the joyous sort of thing that we think prayer should be. In many churches, if you have a regular prayer meeting, it is the thing that the fewest people will usually show up for. It's one of the least attractive things that we do in our churches. And that's because we have a kind of praying that goes on that is isolated from our lives. It's a little something that we think we should tack on, but we don't know quite where to tack it on. And we might even try to grind it out and set up a regular time to go and pray. Whether we think we need it or not, we're just going to do it. But oftentimes, when that time rolls around, we just don't show up. And that's because prayer has not made sense to us. That's just basically the answer. We're doing it, we're grinding it out, but it is not a vital part of our lives. And it indicates that we have not really gotten the connection between prayer and the rest of the abundant life that God has given us in His Son Jesus. And the missing link, I think, for a lot of us is the missing link of faith. What is faith, and how does it relate to our prayers? Well, there are some passages that we'll need to look at this morning, and they will help us refresh our thinking about prayer and see how prayer fits into the kind of life that every one of us want, but so very few of us know how to actually get it. So we begin this morning in James chapter 5, verse 15. We just finished wrapping up a series on James. And James uses this curious little phrase in the 15th verse. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And the phrase I would like to take out of that passage is simply, the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? Because many people who have faith in prayer seem not to be able to pray the prayer of faith. And when we begin to look at our actual practices in prayer, we begin to see that it's not so much that prayer doesn't make sense to us, but rather faith does not make sense to us. What is faith? What is faith? Hold that question as we look at some different passages. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12 through 14, and then 20 through 25. You can turn there if you want. That's just for your reference. Jesus has this interesting encounter with a fig tree. And that's a passage where in the previous day, Jesus, on his way to the temple, turns aside and he sees this fig tree there. And he had hoped to find something to eat on the fig tree because he was hungry. Well, there was nothing but leaves, and so Jesus says to that fig tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And then the next day, they're passing back by there, and Peter is astonished. He's astonished because he looks at the fig tree, and it's not just dead, it's withered. You know the difference between green wood and dry wood? Over the course of the night, because of the word that Jesus had spoken, this fig tree was not just dead, it was withered. Peter says, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Now look at Jesus' response. He responded by saying to them, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And a lot of your Bible versions will read, have faith in God. But there's an important nuance that's captured in the literal Greek reading of this. Have the faith of God. And here's what the faith of God is like. This is the kind of attitude that God has when He decides to go and do something. God works by the speaking of His word in His kingdom. He is the ultimate source of everything and in control of everything. And here's how God has faith when He acts through His word. Jesus explains the kind of faith it takes to do what He did to His disciples that day. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And that's what is central to this whole thing, this whole picture. Forgive if you have anything against anyone. You see, the attitude of faith is the attitude that ties you into an order where forgiveness is the natural thing. It's the natural thing to do because of faith. Forgiveness comes from faith. Forgiveness opens the doorway to faith because of the nature of what faith contacts. Because of the nature of what faith contacts. So when Jesus talks about mountains being cast into the sea, what do you feel when you read that passage? What do you think about? A mountain being taken up and thrown into the sea. Another winged pig just flew by. It just seems impossible. It seems so far beyond our experience that it's ludicrous. You see what's happening here with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus is teaching his disciples about faith and prayer, and these disciples, they're being jerked out of their way of thinking, their way of perceiving reality, they're being jerked out of a godless universe into a universe with God in it where there are possibilities. Where there are possibilities. You can't have the kind of faith that makes living prayer and have life as usual. If you want a normal life with prayer, kind of like a water faucet or a spigot over on the side, that when you need a little something, you go and turn it on, you will never experience living prayer. You will never have it. If you want living prayer, you have to understand. You are signing up to live in a different world. And that's why faith is so important. It is because faith is the vision of that other world. Faith is the vision of the reality of the kingdom of God. So let's define a few terms this morning. What is prayer? Now, there's hundreds of definitions of what prayer is, and they're all good. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to just define prayer as the following. Prayer is communication with God about what we're doing together. And if you're not doing anything together with God, you probably don't have very much to talk with him about. It's as simple as that. It's communication with God about what we're doing together. And back when God and I weren't doing anything together, we really didn't have very much to talk about, did we? So I could say these nice-sounding, flowery prayers in front of a group of people that everyone would kind of think, oh, Calvin, that sounded so good. I wish I could pray like that. But they were disconnected from my real life. They had no power. They had no power. See, we are invited by God to be his co-workers, to work together with him to accomplish things in this world. That's our invitation. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. When I say a prayer and I end it with in Jesus' name, we don't say in Jesus' name so we kind of have a nice little way that everyone knows we're done praying. We pray in Jesus' name because we're partners with him. We are partners with Jesus. And we're not trying to get something in some kind of exclusive and selfish way. No, we're out here and we're doing this because we are involved in the work of God. Now, the work of God includes you and me and each of our well-beings. You see, God is good. He doesn't like bad things. But we don't pray in faith because we haven't connected prayer with our real life, with our actual concerns. Prayer is communicating with God about the things that we are doing together. And let me say, not just the religious things, but all the things that we're doing together, whatever that is, laundry, groceries, plumbing problems, tearing out walls in your house, the boss at work stressing you out, the school load that just seems too much, have you thought about including God in your life at that level? Have you ever considered that? So what are some things that can keep us from the prayer of faith? First, we've not been intentional about how we are working together with the Lord. Second, our prayers have been exclusively self-serving. Our prayers are not connected with our real life, our day-to-day reality. Or perhaps we have something we hold against a brother or sister, some kind of unforgiveness that lingers in our heart. And then also, do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Because that will keep you from the prayer of faith. And then finally, this is such an important point, do we truly believe that God is good? So our next question for us is, what is faith? What is faith and how can I have it? So let me define that for us. This is a simple enough definition. Faith is relying on something as if it were so. Faith is a confidence that leads you to interact with reality in such a way that a result is produced. See, faith is trust. Think about it that way. Faith is trust, and it's the same everywhere it shows up. Whether it's faith in your parents, faith in your church, faith in your God, faith in the laws of this land, that when I do something, I'm going to, you know, that's breaking the law, I'll end up in jail. Faith in the theory of gravity, faith in the laws of physics. You had faith when you came in here and you sat down on the chair, that the chair would be able to support your weight. That's a kind of faith. Faith is reliance. Faith is trust. And one of the things that messes us up so badly in the church is that in this culture today, we are calling things that are faith, we call faith what isn't faith at all. And we're used to saying that we have faith because we want to believe something we really don't believe. Well, I'm trying to believe it. That's faith. I'm trying to believe this. Wanting to believe is not believing. Belief is floppy. I believe that Charles Blondin can walk across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And I believe that he can carry a person in a wheelbarrow until I'm the person invited to get into that wheelbarrow. So Jesus and his friends, they're on this 2.5-year camping trip that he's on. And at one point, this is a story, you can read about it in, let me get this right. It's in Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 8, and I think it's Mark chapter 4. But he's out on the sea of Galilee. He's out on the sea in a boat. And this storm comes up, and they're in real trouble because of this storm. And so there's all of this uproar and crying out from the disciples. Do you know what Jesus is doing while all this is going on? He's asleep. He's asleep in the boat. He's sleeping. While Jesus is sleeping, what are the rest of them doing? They're crying out, they're screaming, they're out of their minds. So the disciples scream out, and it's funny how the heart reveals itself. In Mark's account, the disciples say, "Don't you care if we drown? Don't you? Are you really going to let this happen, Jesus?" And Jesus says to them, O ye of little faith, little faiths, why did you doubt?" And I mean, the normal human reaction would be, okay, if I'm on a boat and it's getting swamped by waves and stuff, why not doubt? Let's all doubt together. But you see, Jesus had faith in God that allowed him to be in that situation in a different kind of way, that his reactions were different. Now, the disciples of Jesus, they did have faith, didn't they? They did have a measure of faith because they knew enough to know that it was important that they got Jesus awake. They had that much faith, at least, so don't give them too hard of a time. So they had faith in what they did, and prayers of desperation, let me just say, they have an element of genuine faith as well. And some of the clearest answers that I've had in my prayers have been prayers of desperation. Prayers of desperation are an expression of faith. But you see, Jesus in this situation, he had a kind of faith that let him sleep during a storm. Because he knew that his Father was in control of everything. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The evidence or proof of things not seen, in other words, prayer in faith and action in faith allows us to touch the unseen world of God. So that which was not a reality, it becomes a reality. And that which is not yet before us, we know that it's there. We know that it's there. Nearly everything that you have in your life is a result of faith. Because of your confidence in something, you will act together with it in such a way where everything else that is involved, it will come together and it will bring something to pass. That is faith. Faith in God brings into reality that which would not otherwise be. And now let's jump back to prayer. And let me say that one of the biggest hindrances to prayer is that people don't really believe that their prayers will make any kind of difference. If you don't believe your prayers are going to make any kind of difference, you will not pray. You just won't. And some people even think it's a little blasphemous and presumptuous to believe that God would do something just because I ask him. And we'll say things like, well, isn't he good? Isn't he already going to do what's good even if we don't ask him? And if you do ask him, would it really make that much of a difference? See, many people have this idea of God that he's this great, boring, unmoving cosmic stare. Just a cosmic stare. Unmovable force. Unblinking. He never moves. You see, faith means that we are tying up with an interactive God who is big enough not to stare at everything all the time. If God doesn't want to stare at something, he doesn't have to stare at it. If he wants to put you or me in charge of something and hold us responsible, like any good administrator would do, he can do that, can't he? And those of you who may be in administrative positions, try staring at people who work under you. Just stare at them. The result will not be good, will it? And some of us have problems because we think of God as a big cosmic stare. Others of us think of God as some kind of micromanaging parent. But God is big enough to make our reality interesting. He's big enough to give you responsibility. He's big enough to let you fail at that responsibility and then to step into it, to redeem, to pick you up and encourage you to try again. God who's so great that it's easier for him to exist than not exist. And when you pray in faith and the answers, they seem to emerge out of nothing. Oftentimes we wonder, am I dreaming? How is this even possible? Am I dreaming? I don't know if I believe this or not. Sometimes the clearest answers to prayer that we get come from prayers that we didn't particularly feel anything from. So Dallas tells a story about a young man who he prayed for. He was delivering a summons, and of course when you're delivering a summons, people don't always greet you warmly. And so he was delivering these papers to a doctor, I think, and the doctor tore out of there and actually ran over the young man and broke his ankle with his car and asked for him to pray for him. So he prayed for him. Didn't particularly think much about it or feel anything. And then this young man goes to the doctors after, he'd already been to the doctor, and he comes back, and the doctor had the original x-rays and everything, and then was looking at these new x-rays and said, this doesn't exactly make sense, and we're not sure how this is possible, but somehow the damage is regressing. It's not the same as it was when you first came in. You see, God works that way. But many still would think, you know, that's just a coincidence. That's maybe just a coincidence. And you see, one of the things that you'll learn about prayer as you step into this new world and you begin to pray and God begins to answer, your main temptation will be to explain those things away. And when you do that, you're probably going to enter into several dry periods where you're not going to see any coincidences anymore. God begins to call that which is not as though it were in response to prayers of faith. And another thing about faith, I need to say this, faith is not a qualification for an answer. It doesn't earn us credit somehow. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that they who approach God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that's what faith is. Faith is an action of diligently seeking after the Lord. It is not a work of righteousness. Faith is a reality with its causes and its effects. Faith is not magic or some shiny little thing in your mind. Faith is confidence that leads you to interact with reality in such a way that a result comes. When I have faith that I go and I turn on the light switch to get the lights on, they don't come on because I have this wonderful thing called faith. The lights come on because my faith led me to act. And my actions tied me into a system of reality that brought a result. I had faith that when I flip that switch, something's going to happen. Faith is that action of me going and doing that, flipping that switch, actually. And this is why we looked at this ad nauseum from James' letter. Faith, he always ties it to action. Faith is always tied to action. Faith isn't some kind of marvelous little qualification that if you have that, it's going to shake down the goodies from heaven. Faith isn't like that. And that's why it's often very imperfect faith that will bring an answer. Imperfect faith will bring an answer because the imperfection of the faith did not prevent a stumbling, blundering action that resulted in someone being thrown upon the reality of God. One of those stumbling, desperate moves. And you realize there's something here. Something has happened. I know I talk to you all the time, God, but I didn't know you were real. It's the action in response to faith that shows the reality of God coming into our lives. It's when we act, it's when we move. But still, there's so many of us in this room who just won't pray. You won't do it. But here's another avenue that will lead us in to prayer and faith. And this will maybe pull more of us in. Love. Love leads to prayer. Because love makes us know our helplessness. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you know that. As much as you do, you know that there are things beyond your power and control. We have to have God. And we cry out to God because of our love. We cry out in the imperfection of our understanding. We cry out in a context where we don't know what to do. And yet we cry out in prayer because love compels us. If you love enough, even if you don't have faith, you'll still pray. If you love enough. You see, we have to be turned outside of ourselves and opened up. Opened away from ourselves and stepping forward for what is bigger than we can manage on our own. And this pulls us into the kingdom of God, not because we qualify, but because we've moved closer to God. We've made an action that moves us closer to God. We have stepped out in faith. And you know, the Bible is full of stories of these people, and they don't even know what they believe. I believe, help my unbelief. I don't know. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. It's full of stories that these people, they don't understand. But still, they come to Jesus. And he honors in their awkward, fumbling way the simple reliance of faith, the desperation of faith sometimes. And a result is produced. So there are three things that are the content of the faith of Jesus Christ. Three things that he believes about his Father that make up the faith of Jesus. First, God is here. God is not far away. He's right here with us in this room. He's busy helping me out in my own blundering way up here to carry some of what I say and carry that to you. Holy Spirit, he's the best preacher in this room. He's not far from us. He is here. Heaven is not far away. The biblical concept of heaven is it starts right here where your head is. That's the biblical concept. And so when we say, our Father who art in heaven, we are not praying, our Father who art far away in space and time. No, when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, we are praying, our Father here among us, right here with us. God is not far away. He's near us. Second, God is able. There's nothing too hard for God because God holds everything together anyway. Every breath you've taken, every beat of your heart, he holds it all together anyway. And whether it's a medical problem, a financial problem, or other circumstances, personal relationships, whatever it is, nothing is too hard for God. And all the things that we think are too hard, when we learn to pray the prayer of faith, we begin to see them strangely melt and reconfigure and change when God steps in. And there's nothing too hard for God because he holds it all together anyway. Now, if you're a physicist or a chemist and you're trying to look for the laws with which you can use to change something, you have a different kind of problem. It's hard for you. It's not hard for God. And finally, This is the one that really hangs us up the most, I would say. Jesus showed us and taught that God is good. God is good. Don't believe anything bad about God. God does not do evil. And now this really is going very deep. Because when we listen to people talk, we realize that that a lot of people think some really bad things about God. In the context of a horrendous situation, the prophet Nahum writes these words. No, that's 1 John. So let me back up. Well, let me go ahead since I already announced it. He says, Nahum says this, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord is good. He cares for those who trust in him. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the entire earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is good. And John, this apostle, who spent all of these years together with Jesus, and then when Jesus died in bodily form, he spent all of these years again with Jesus, living in him. And he says this, he has this message. If you were to boil down all his teaching and say, what is the message of John? He boils it down for us and he says, this is the message we heard from him and declare to you. This is a hinge right here. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. And it's very important, let me say, that when you have a hard time believing this, and those doubts well up in your soul, well, if God is good, then why does such and such and such and such happen? Why did this happen to so-and-so in this way? You have a problem that you need to be honest about, and you need to deal with it. But there are so many people that are unable to pray the prayer of faith because in their hearts, they do not believe that God is good. They don't believe that God is good. Paul says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace from God which you cannot figure out, which will set a guard around your mind and your heart. All the anxiety we feel, all the fret, all the anger that comes out of our own fear, the need to control, the peace of God, when it enters that situation, those things are simply gone. They're removed. They're taken away. And this peace of God settles over you because you truly believe that God is near, that God is able, and God is good. The peace of God comes. That's faith, and that's the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith where you come to a place where you are so close and intimate with God that you are confident that the need will be met. That you're confident that the need will be met. Now, you get this faith by opening yourself actively and energetically to receive the word of Christ and his gospel. That's how you get this faith. See, you don't try to have faith. You don't try to have faith. You don't get faith by trying to have it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The message is heard through the word of Christ. That's why our constant study meditation and pondering of the scriptures is so very important. To put it another way, if your faith is weak, if you lack confidence in God, I can safely guess that there's a layer of dust that's gathered on your Bible. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. The Word of God has power. The Holy Spirit uses those words in such a way that it causes faith to grow. And grow in the power of the kingdom of God. And he will extend your faith. He will extend your faith from what you believe easily to what you believe with great difficulty. And as you put yourself out in a context of trust in such a way that if God doesn't come through, I'm hung, you will begin to learn how God comes through. You'll begin to learn how God comes through. But we try to keep ourselves far from that, don't we? Oh, what an awful thing it would be to have to rely on the Lord like that. But when you step out in trust, and a result is produced, and you find God in that, you will grow, and He will grow your faith, and you will move from faith to faith, from the faith that you have now to the faith that you do not yet have but are in the process of getting. So to close, let's ask ourselves one more time this question. Would we really like to have that kind of faith? Because it means no more life as usual. It means stepping away from double-mindedness. It means that you truly live into your confession of faith that you gave, that your life is not your own. It means that you really live that for real. Life as usual does not exist. You cannot have life as usual and just tack on a little faith on the side or sprinkle a little. We don't sprinkle here. We baptize by immersion. And if you really want this kind of faith, you have to ask yourself the question, what would you be willing to do to have it? What would you be willing to do to have a faith like that and a prayer relationship with God like that? That when you pray and you're working together with Him, when God chooses, He acts and a result is produced that is beyond coincidence. Let me say very simply, if many Christians would devote a quarter of the time to growing their faith that they devote to learning how to play golf well, the land would be filled with spiritual giants. Does that sound mean or harsh? I think it's true. If you were to invest in stepping out in faith and make your faith an action, whereas if God doesn't show up in some way, we're in trouble, we're hung. We'll begin to learn how God shows up. That's the kind of faith Jesus Christ had. That's the kind of faith that I don't have, but that I want. These next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a church. And I'm going to say some hard things probably, some challenging things. Because I believe in the vision God has for this church and what He wants to use us for to accomplish His good in the Eugene-Springfield area. This church is not anything special in the sense of our numbers. We don't have overwhelming numbers. We I mean, you have me as your preacher. You're stuck with that for a while. Our worship ministry, it's not the thrills, the sounds, the bells and whistles that other places have. But faith in God is going to bring us new places. Faith is the vision of what He wants to accomplish, the good He will accomplish in our lives through us, together, working together with us. Good things are coming. Good things are coming. Answer to our prayers are coming. I see them through faith. Not because there's any special power in me, but because I believe that God is here. And I believe that He's able. And I believe that God is good. And as we blunder and stumble, reaching out for the Lord, as we humble ourselves that way, I believe that He will lift us up. So I don't know where you're at this morning, what needs you have. Come forward. You put on Christ in baptism. We'll pray for you and anything that you have. Our prayers, such as they are, as we're trying to grow, be able to pray the prayer of faith that has tangible, powerful results like Jesus was able to do. Jesus says in John's gospel, you'll do even greater things. Even greater things, at least collectively, we will do even greater things that Christ did while He was on earth. It's because when we pray in Jesus' name, Jesus Christ in His own body now takes those prayers and relays them directly to the throne of God. That's the good that Jesus has for us. Let's stand and sing.